from Cherry Hill Publishing. Witch Out of Water, Clash of Coven Series Book 2, by Aidan James. Narrated by Jason Keller. The greatest magic of all is true love. Chapter 1. Hello again. Sebastian Radu here. Yes, I know it's been a while. Surely you were expecting an update much sooner, which, believe it or not, was my intent. Still is, and I will begin trying to make amends for my long absence in a moment. But first, let me say that my incarceration in purgatory wasn't my fault. At least, not entirely. Even though the sentence imposed by the EEC, European Elders Council, for those unfamiliar, was largely due to my stubborn refusal to betray my heart, I can honestly state that I have been treated unjustly. In light of where things stand at the moment, I can also unequivocally assert that the punishment meted out to me was far more severe than warranted. After all, such a thing as love shouldn't be treated as a high crime, should it? And I shall forever maintain that it wasn't, and isn't, an obstinate or pig-headed thing for me to remain devoted to Dutch Yanomate. In truth, I love her still. Completely. I am hopelessly lost. There, I've said it. Just in case Uncle Adrian or the EEC's reps sent to our little town of Denmark, Tennessee, to keep peace during my absence are listening in. Constables is how these so-called peacekeepers refer to themselves. They were part of the numerous surprises awaiting me upon my return from what I believed was a mere month or two in solitary confinement, in a place affectionately known as Bajigny. I am being facetious about the affectionate reference to my purgatorial home away from home, despite the soft ocean breezes and breathtaking sunsets, or sunrises, while residing in a grass hut on a deserted white sand beach. Sounds dreamily divine, you say? Only if you're okay with a perpetual vacation snapshot that would remain unchanged for days and then weeks on end. Within the world of my ethereal cell block, it was always either early morning or early evening, since the sun barely peered above the horizon at the end of whatever ocean or sea that lapped quietly along the beach's edge. No one told me which direction the hut's open doorway faced at the outset of my sentence. Now that this portion of my ordeal is over, I doubt I'll ever ask about it. Why bother? At least the water appeared pristine, unspoiled and cobalt, as nature intended, and without mankind's interference. In hindsight, I'd say the place was just enough of paradise to calm the soul at the weariest of moments, and a virtual hell whenever boredom set in. The perpetual unending days that turned into weeks finally ended this morning. I awoke in my very own bed, in the bedroom I had commandeered over the protests of my kid sister Alicia when we first arrived at Twin Magnolias in May. As I opened my eyes, it took a moment for me to grasp this wasn't a cruel trick. Perhaps a dreamed mirage to taunt me in retaliation for a lesson that had failed to take hold? It seemed logical, until I heard the garbage truck pull up to the gate closest to our house, catty-corner from one of my bedroom windows on the mansion's second floor. The braking screech, stop screech, that repeated twice before the truck moved on to its next destination, had always annoyed the hell out of me. But now, it was a frigging angelic serenade to my ears. I leapt out of bed and hurried over to the window, pulling aside the curtains. I was in time to see the yellow and green backside of the vehicle disappear beneath the thick canopy provided by a row of immense walnuts that line our side of Chaffin's Bend, the road my western window faces. A couple of things stood out to me. The first observation supported my initial belief that I had only been gone a couple of months. Our neighbor, Julian Mays, once told me that the walnuts would be among the first trees to lose their leaves in early fall, and I notice now that they had turned yellow since the last time I had seen them in July. It disappointed me a little that I had missed most of summer. Although with the air conditioning resting quietly, as opposed to working hard to keep the temperature inside our home tolerable this past July, I also realized that I had likely missed the worst of the heat, the dog days of summer, that the older folks in Denmark have openly lamented. The second thing that stood out, however, brought a double take with me pressing my face against the window's old wavy glass. "Holy shit," I whispered. The original fence, resembling fancy chicken wire held in place by rusted support posts, had been replaced by a spanking new wrought iron version. From what I could tell, it spanned the entire length of our property. Only the old gate leading out to Chaffin's Bend, and which often brought to mind the syndicated Tales from the Crypt television series with its eerie screech, remained. In panic, I moved over to my bedroom's other window that faced out into the backyard, where more surprises awaited. The old brick servants' quarters appeared to have undergone a full remodeling, something seemingly impossible for it to happen during my relatively short absence from this place. And a bricked courtyard now dominated the space between that building and our house. Just beyond the pergola, at the rear edge of the wraparound porch, appeared to be a new structure of some sort, but I couldn't quite make out what it was. Still, there was no doubt that what led from this new building was a fully paved driveway, which had replaced the old gravel version at some point during my incarceration, along with a security-controlled gate where the driveway met Chaffin's Bend. I tried to tell myself that all of these things could have been done in just 2 months' time, with the right work crews and plenty of cash to make it happen. My family had more than enough financial resources for that to be possible, even though getting the EEC to sign off on any extravagance was often harder and more time-consuming than pushing something through Congress. I almost succeeded in convincing myself that my growing unease from within was unfounded. Almost, that is, until I noticed the barn just beyond the driveway. Dad and Grandpa had plans to completely gut it and turn it into a nice party room with an expanded facade that paid homage to the building's creation in the late 1800s. It was something they planned to do next summer. Oh, shit! No! No, no, no! I recalled seeing the blueprints, as their fulfillment was something my grandfather especially mourned losing out on when we seriously considered fleeing Denmark to avoid an all-out war with the Mates, our rival witch and warlock family, just a few days before my ill-fated meeting with Tatiana in the woods behind the local art school. Grandpa's cherished project appeared to be far beyond the vision stage. Hell, it looked far too fabulous for an undertaking in its infancy.
"But, dear boy, it's not a project any longer. The sucker's done."
Oh my God, how long have I been gone?
The muttered question seized my mind, freezing all other considerations as I threw open the bedroom door and bolted for the landing. I didn't bother taking the stairs down to the foyer, instead leaping over the banister and landing with a noticeable thud on the foyer's marble floor. The kitchen's occupants seemed oblivious nonetheless, their voices erupting into joyous laughter in response to one of Grandpa's jokes, until I stepped inside. Twin blue lasers were ablaze from within my skull, as I had a serious bone to pick with my parents. I headed straight for them.
"What in the hell have you done to my world? To my life?"